Chapter 1. The Cursed Dishrag. Steam.
Clang.
The kitchen was its own circle of torment. Arya kept her head down, her world reduced to the blackened iron pot in her hands. She scrubbed until her knuckles burned raw. Stay small. Stay silent. Stay safe. It was the only prayer she knew. The air hung thick, a suffocating blanket of roasting boar, spilled ale, and the sharp, metallic tang of anxious sweat. Tonight was the great feast. Tonight, the Alpha King arrived. Move it, curse mark. Alara, broad, mean, and viciously proud of her rank, shoved Arya hard. Arya stumbled, her hip crashing against the hot stone of the hearth. She bit her tongue to trap the cry. Pain was a familiar friend. The faint, silvery crescent scar on her wrist, the one the pack elders called the Rogue's Mark, throbbed. It was a convenient lie. A story told to explain why she, a nobody, had survived the attack that slaughtered her family. Because she was marked, she was tainted. Because she was different, she was the pack's favorite shadow. She'll sour the meat, another servant muttered, not bothering to lower his voice. They say the king is looking for, well, you know. Arya's stomach clenched. She scrubbed harder, scraping the iron with her nails. The king. Kale Draven. He wasn't a man. He was a ghost story. A legend whispered by firesides to frighten pups. A shadow that ruled from a distant, haunted throne. They said he hadn't been seen in public for months. They said his leaken form was a thing of pure, uncontrollable chaos. And they said he was looking for a mate. This feast was more than a political gathering, it was a hunting ground. Because the kingdom was fractured, the king needed an anchor. He needed a queen. Just as Arya managed to scour the last bit of char from the pot, the head cook, Martha, slammed a heavy silver tray of goblets onto the table. The clang made Arya jump. You, Martha barked, not even using her name. You're serving wine tonight. Lyra is sick.
Ice.
Pure. Paralyzing ice flooded Arya's veins.
No.
Please, Martha. I can't. I'll stay. I'll clean the grease traps. I'll do the slaughterhouse floors. You'll do as you're told. Martha snapped, her face red from the heat. Alara, make sure she's presentable. Don't want her scaring off the highborns with that thing. Alara's grin was a cruel, sharp slash. Arya felt the stone walls press in. She was trapped. She was exposed. She was being thrown to the wolves. Her deepest fear wasn't the king, or the lords, or the feast. Her terror was being seen. Being seen, being judged, and being discarded. It was the story of her life. She hid the scar, but what about the other secret? The strange, simmering energy under her skin that hummed at odd moments, a warmth nobody, not even the pack healers, could explain? The kitchen noise, the shouting, the sizzling, the chopping, faded to a dull, distant roar. Her pulse hammered in her ears. She had to serve the Alpha King, the one man who held the power of life and death. The man whose beast was rumored to crave only destruction. What if he saw her? What if he noticed? The thought of his eyes on her was a suffocating weight, and she knew, deep in her bones, that this night was destined to shatter her carefully built silence. Chapter 2. The Guard in the Shadows. Following the chaos of the kitchens, the great hall was a blast of overwhelming sensation. Heat from 1,000 candles and 2 massive hearths. The roar of conversation and booming laughter. The rich, almost sickening scent of spiced wine, roasting meat, and expensive, cloying perfumes. Arya clutched the heavy silver tray, her borrowed servant's dress scratching her skin. It was too tight in the chest and too loose in the waist. She felt like a doll made of mismatched parts, and just as breakable. Don't look up. Don't make eye contact. Don't exist. She moved along the edges of the room, a ghost pouring deep red wine into endless, gleaming goblets. Lords and ladies, draped in furs and heavy jewels, talked over her, through her, around her. She was just a hand, a pouring mechanism. This was good. This was safe. But then she felt it. A prickle.
A weight.
Like a physical hand pressing flat between her shoulder blades. Someone was watching her. It wasn't the casual glance of a guest or the sharp eye of a steward. This was focused. Intense. It was a stare that burned right through the scratchy fabric, through her skin, and straight into her bones. Her breath hitched. She dared a tiny, fleeting glance from beneath her lashes. He wasn't at the high table with the Alpha Regent. He stood in the back, near the massive oak doors, cloaked in shadow. He was dressed in the simple, severe black leather of the king's personal guard. But he was not simple. While other guards looked bored, or nervous, or restless, he was utterly still. He was a mountain. He was a storm waiting to break. He was massive, broader than any two men in the hall, and even from across the room, she could feel a strange, dangerous energy rolling off him. A scent hit her, cutting through the thick smell of the feast, something wild, elemental, like ozone before a lightning strike and the deep, dark smell of ancient pine.
His eyes.
She couldn't see their color from this distance, but they were locked on her. He wasn't scanning the crowd. He wasn't watching the regent. He was looking at her. Arya's panic spiked. It was a cold, sharp thing. He wasn't supposed to see her. Guards weren't supposed to stare at serving girls. She tried to turn, to duck back toward the kitchens, but Alara was there, a solid, sneering wall. The regent's table, curse mark. Now.
Trapped.
She had to walk past the guard. Past the shadow. She moved. Her feet felt like lead. Each step was a small agony. Closer. Closer. The air grew thick. Heavy. She kept her eyes glued to the stone floor. Don't look. Don't look. As she passed him, her elbow brushed the hard leather of his arm. A jolt. It was like grabbing a live wire. A searing, shocking heat shot up her arm, straight to her chest, making her heart kick violently against her ribs. She gasped, fumbling the tray. Wine sloshed, a dark red stain on the silver. The guard didn't move. He didn't flinch. But she heard it. A low, quiet sound, barely audible under the feast's roar. A sound that shouldn't come from a man. A growl. She fled, her entire body shaking, not from fear, but from a terrifying, impossible spark that felt dangerously like recognition. Chapter 3. The King's Mercy. Building on that shocking encounter, Arya hid in the alcove behind a tapestry, her pulse a frantic drum against her ribs. What was that? That shock. That growl? It was impossible. She rubbed her arm, but the tingling refused to fade. She had to get out. She had to escape. But there was no escape. The Alpha Regent, Lord Valyrius, stood. He raised his goblet. His voice boomed, a self-important sound that cut through the hall's noise. A moment. Honor guests. Tonight, we celebrate our king. And as is tradition, a maiden will be chosen to serve the king's personal court. A hush fell. It was quickly followed by a flurry of excited, tittering whispers. It was the highest honor. A chance to be near the Alpha King himself. For Arya, it was a death sentence. She pressed herself flat against the cold stone, the rough tapestry scratching her cheek. Don't see me. Please, Moon Goddess, don't let them see me. She saw Alara lean toward Lord Valyrius, her lips moving. Alara pointed. Pointed right at Arya's hiding spot. Because Alara knew Arya feared this more than death. Because she knew it was the ultimate torment. It wasn't an honor, it was a punishment. A way to humiliate the curse mark in front of the entire kingdom. Valyrius squinted, his gaze finding her.
Ah, yes.
The girl in the shadows. Step forward, child.
No, no.
The room spun. The candlelight blurred into painful, swimming stars. All eyes, hundreds of eyes, turned to her. To the invisible girl. Her lungs seized. This was her deepest fear realized. This was a nightmare. Being seen. Being chosen. Being discarded. They wanted her to walk. To stand in the center of the room and be judged? She couldn't. She wouldn't. Arya's mind went sharp, then blessedly blank. She had one option. One escape. It was cowardly. It was pathetic. It was necessary. This situation demanded a desperate act. This terror gave her a strange, cold clarity. She let her knees buckle. She let her eyes roll back. She forced all the air from her lungs in a quiet whoosh. Arya fainted. Deliberately. She collapsed, expecting to hit the cold, hard stone floor. But the floor never came. Strong arms. Solid as ancient oak. They scooped her up before she even hit the ground. The movement was fast, yet impossibly gentle. The scent of pine and lightning flooded her senses, overpowering, possessive, familiar. It was him, the guard from the shadows. She was pressed against a chest so hard it felt like carved stone. His heat was a furnace, burning right through her thin dress. She kept her eyes clamped shut, her body limp, pretending. But her heart hammered against his. Thump-thump, thump-thump, It was the safest she had ever felt in her entire, miserable life. He held her. He didn't call for healer. He didn't jostle her. He just held her, turning his massive body to shield her from the staring crowd. Then, a voice rumbled against her ear. It wasn't a shout, not a command. It was a whisper. So low, so rough, it vibrated straight into her soul. You. Arya's fake faint suddenly felt terribly real, as the monster she'd been running from had just caught her in his arms. Chapter 4. The Gilded Cage. Arya woke with a gasp. This was wrong. All wrong. The world was soft. Her head rested on a pillow stuffed with down, not a thin, lumpy straw mattress. Silk, cool and impossibly smooth, slid against her scarred wrist. She scrambled back, her heart leaping into her throat. This was not the cramped, damp servant's cot she shared with three other girls. She was alone. The room was vast. Silver moonlight poured through a tall, arched window, painting the plush carpets and dark, carved wood furniture in shades of blue. A fireplace, cold but massive, dominated one wall. This was a noble's room. A royal room.
No, no, no.
Her whisper was loud in the terrifying silence. This was a punishment. They knew. They knew she fainted on purpose. Alara had told them. Now she was being made a spectacle, a toy for their amusement before they threw her out. Because she had insulted the regent, she would be made an example. She leaped from the bed. The floor was warm, heated from below. She ran to the door, a heavy, dark oak slab, and pulled on the iron handle. It was not locked. Relief roared with a fresh wave of panic. She could leave.
But where?
Back to the kitchens? Martha would demand answers. Alara would mock her. What would she even say? I fainted, and a guard put me in a prince's chamber? They would laugh her out of the pack, or worse. She was trapped, locked or not. Her eyes darted to the window. It was at least three stories up. A sheer drop to a stone courtyard. There was no escape. Her breath came short and fast. She had to think. She was a survivor. She had survived the rogue attack. She survived the kitchens. She would survive this. Stay small. Stay silent. But it was too late for that. She had been seen. The door creaked open. Arya spun, pressing herself flat against the wall, trying to melt into the tapestry. He filled the doorway. It was him. The guard from the hall. The man who caught her. The scent of pine and wild ozone rolled into the room, a physical presence that choked the air. He was a mountain of shadow and leather, and the moonlight did nothing to soften the hard planes of his face. He just stood there, watching her. His stillness was more frightening than any threat. He took one step inside. The latch clicked shut behind him. The sound was a death knell. She was locked in. Not by the door, but with him. He was in the cage. Arya's throat closed. She couldn't scream. She could only watch as the man who held her fate in his huge, calloused hands observed her, his expression completely, terrifyingly unreadable. Chapter 5. The Scent of Pine. He did not move closer. He just watched. His presence sucked all the air from the massive chamber, leaving Arya to suffocate on the scent of him. That wild, clean smell of a storm just moments before it breaks. It should have been terrifying. So why did one part of her, a deep, stupid animal part, want to take a deeper breath? You are safe. His voice. It was the same low, rough rumble she heard in the hall. It vibrated through her, shaking the panic loose, only to replace it with a strange, heavy confusion. Safe. She hated how her own voice squeaked. Where am I? Why did you bring me here? This is a mistake. This is no mistake. He cut her off, not unkindly, but with an absolute finality. I have to go back. She pushed off the wall, trying to look brave, trying to find a path around him. The head cook, Martha, she will. Martha has been informed. Informed of what? Arya cried, her control cracking. That I am a fool? That I fainted like a weakling? Please, I must return to my duties. This is a punishment. I know it is. You were afraid. It was not a question. It was a statement. He said it as if he had read the secret, ugly truth from her very bones. Arya flinched. She lied. I was tired. I did not eat. The heat. It was just the heat. He knew she was lying. He didn't call her on it. He simply took one slow step toward her. Arya flinched and pressed back against the wall. He stopped instantly. The space between them thrummed. It was alive. That electric spark she felt in the hall was back, a low hum under her skin that made her want to run away and run to him all at once. His eyes never left her face. His gaze was so intense, so focused, it felt like a physical touch. He wasn't looking at her like a guard looks at a servant. He was looking at her like a wolf looks at him. I have to go, she whispered, her resolve crumbling. This man was dangerous. Not because he might hurt her, but because he saw her. You will not be returning to the kitchens, he said.
What?
You can't. I can. Who are you? She demanded, a spark of her buried anger finally igniting. You're just a guard. You have no right to keep me here. He was silent for a long moment. His broad chest rose and fell in a slow, controlled breath. When he spoke, his voice was laced with a power that had no business belonging to a simple soldier. You will stay in the palace. You are under my protection. Arya's mouth fell open. His protection?
From what?
From whom? I don't need protection, she managed. Don't you? He asked, and the quiet question stripped her bare. He knew. He knew everything. And he was not letting her go. Chapter 6, The Glimmer of Gold. Under your protection? Arya repeated, the words tasting like ash. What does that mean? I am a servant. I am the curse mark. I am nobody. She hated the tremor in her voice, hated the way she pleaded for her own worthlessness. But it was the only truth she knew. It was the only armor she had. If he believed she was nothing, maybe he would let her return to being nothing. You are not nobody, he said, and the conviction in his voice terrified her. He sounded so certain. You don't even know me. I know, he said, that you were not meant to scrub pots. A hysterical laugh almost bubbled up in her. And you, a guard, get to decide that? A muscle in his jaw jumped. He took another step. She didn't back away this time. She was too shocked, too frozen by the sheer strangeness of it all. He was close now. Close enough for her to feel the heat rolling off his body. Close enough for her to see the tiny flecks of silver in his dark, intense eyes. Lord Valyrius will make his selection for the king's court tomorrow, he stated, his voice flat. The ice returned. The trap. This was the trap. So that's it. You're giving me to him? To be chosen? To be paraded around? You will be at the ceremony.
No.
This time, she shouted. I won't. I refuse. You can't make me. Arya. She froze. He said her name. He said her name like it was a prayer. Like it was a word he had held in his mouth for 1,000 years.
How?
She whispered, her whole body shaking. How do you know my name? He didn't answer. His gaze softened, just a fraction. The hard soldier's mask cracked, and for a second, she saw something else. Something raw. Something aching. Please, she begged, the fight draining out of her, leaving only the old, familiar dread. I am not special. I am not. I am not what you think. Let me go.
Please.
They will destroy me. He reached out. A slow, deliberate movement. His fingers were long, his hand scarred. He stopped, his fingertips hovering an inch from her cheek. She could feel the heat. She should have pulled away. She needed to pull away. She didn't. She leaned in just a tiny bit. His breath hitched. His voice broke, a raw, painful sound that ripped through the quiet room. You belong nowhere else. He clenched his hand into a fist, pulling it back as if her skin had burned him.
His control was snapping.
She could see the war inside him. He turned, his movement stiff, and stalked to the door. Wait, she called, unsure why. He paused, his back to her. He didn't look back, but she saw it. In the shadows of the hall, his eyes met the sliver of moonlight. They flashed. Not brown. Not black. For one heartbeat, his eyes burned with a bright, molten, impossible gold. It was the color of a Lycan. The color of legends. The color of royal blood. The door clicked shut, and Arya was left alone, her heart hammering against her ribs. He wasn't a guard. He wasn't just a Lycan. He was something more. Chapter 7. The Unseen Shield. The next morning, Arya found she was a prisoner of comfort. A different servant, a young woman with wide, nervous eyes, brought a tray of bread and cheese, set it down, and scurried away without a single word. Arya was a pariah even here, in this grand, sunlit chamber. She was not locked in. The door was open, but she knew she was not free. She had to try. She slipped into the long, empty corridor, her bare feet silent on the plush carpet. He was there. At the far end of the hall, Draven stood. He was a monolith of black leather and shadow, arms crossed, watching the sunlight. He wasn't looking at her, but she felt his attention. It was a heavy, warm weight that settled over her shoulders. She spun, her heart thudding, and retreated to her room. An hour later, she tried again. She went left, toward a grand staircase. He stood at the bottom, speaking quietly to another guard who looked terrified. She turned right, toward a row of windows. He was there, seemingly staring out at the courtyard. He never approached. He never spoke to her. He was just there, a constant, silent, massive shadow. It was infuriating. It was terrifying. It was, in a strange, deep-down way, almost comforting. She felt like a mouse being watched by a hawk.
Why?
Because of that ceremony? She hugged the walls, desperate to find a servant's passage, a way back to the kitchens, back to normal. She found a small, hidden courtyard, overgrown with ivy, and dashed into it, finally alone. Well, well, look at the little curse mark. Arya froze.
Alara.
She was coming from the laundry, her arms full of linens. Her face was a mask of pure, jealous spite. Getting comfy in the highborn wing, are we? Alara sneered, dumping the linens on the ground. Think you're better than us now? You're just a marked-up piece of trash. You're nothing. And when the regent is done parading you around, you'll be. Leave. The voice was not Arya's. It came from the archway. Draven stood there. He hadn't raised his voice. He hadn't moved. But the single word was heavy. It hit the air like a stone, vibrating with a power that made the ivy tremble. Alara went pale. Her eyes darted from Arya to the huge guard and back.
We
were just talking. Go. A sound rumbled in his chest. It was low, vibrating, and utterly inhuman.
A growl.
It was the sound of rocks grinding together, a promise of violence held back by the thinnest thread. Alara shrieked. She did not bother with the linens. She scrambled backward, tripped over her own feet, and fled. Arya was left staring, her breath caught in her chest. He had protected her. He had defended her. He turned his head, and his gaze met hers. The golden flash was gone, replaced by those dark, intense eyes. He didn't offer a smile. He didn't say a word. He just held her gaze, and her treacherous heart, stupid and broken, beat a little faster. Chapter 8. The Unstable King. Following that strange, silent rescue, Arya grew bolder. Not brave, exactly, but consumed by a burning curiosity. His protection was a strange, invisible shield. She began to explore, always feeling his presence 10 paces, one corner, one shadow behind her.
She had to understand.
Why was he doing this?
Who was he?
He wore a guard's simple uniform, but he commanded terror. Alara hadn't just obeyed, she had run for her life. She needed answers. She was good at being invisible, a skill honed by years of avoidance. She found a small, dark alcove near the guard's barracks, a perfect place to listen. She slipped inside, hiding behind a heavy suit of armor, and made herself small. Two guards passed, their voices low and worried. "He's not been seen in months," one said, his voice hushed. "Lord Valerius is running the entire kingdom. He says the king is just unwell." "Unwell?" The other guard gave a short, harsh laugh. "He's unstable, Rorik. My cousin's friend is on the king's detail."
"He saw him,"
said the Leakin has taken over. "Said it's chaotic. Not right. Not a normal shift." Arya's blood ran cold. The monster from the stories. He was real. The second guard continued, his voice dropping even lower. "They say only his fated mate can calm the beast. And what are the chances of that? Goddess help us if he doesn't find her soon. A chaotic Leakin can't rule. He'll tear the kingdom apart. Valerius is right to keep him contained. A sacrifice." Her mind reeled. This feast, this selection. It wasn't an honor. It was a hunt. They were dangling women in front of a monster, hoping one would be the cure. And Draven? Where did he fit into this? Was he one of the king's handlers? Was his protection just him guarding the potential bait? The thought made her stomach turn. He wasn't protecting her. He was protecting a thing the king might want. She had to get away. She felt sick. She slipped out of the alcove, her mind racing, and turned a corner too fast. She slammed right into a wall of solid muscle.
No.
Not a wall.
Him.
Draven. She bounced off his chest. His hand shot out, grabbing her upper arms to steady her. His grip was firm, yet impossibly gentle. But his left hand slid down, his palm brushing against hers as he pulled away. Jolt. It was not a simple spark. It was a fire. A white-hot, possessive, undeniable claim that shot from her hand, up her arm, and straight into her core. Her heart didn't just race. It stumbled. It knew him. She ripped her hand back, staring at it as if it were snake-bitten. He stared at his own hand, his jaw tight, his expression one of sharp, sudden pain. He looked at her, and his dark eyes were burning with a hunger that had nothing to do with a king and everything to do with a man. Chapter 9. The Beast in the Hall. That terrifying, electric touch shattered her last bit of calm.
She ran.
She didn't just walk. She fled, not from him, but from it. From the impossible, terrifying pull that her body felt toward this strange, silent guard. She ran to the only place she thought he wouldn't follow, the only place she had ever belonged. She burst through the heavy service door into the kitchens. The wall of heat, the clang of iron, the sharp smell of onions and old grease, it was home. Martha, her face red from the ovens, looked up and scowled. So, the little princess returns? The head cook snapped. Get a scrub brush. The feast pots won't clean themselves just because you've been sleeping in silk. Arya could have cried with relief. Yes, Martha. Thank you. This was normal. This was real. The guard, the gold eyes, the electric fire in her veins. That was the nightmare. She was elbow deep in greasy, scalding water when the screaming started. It came from the hall. It was not the shriek of a scolded servant. It was a real scream. A scream of death. Then, the sound of shattering glass. A guard shouted, "Rogues! In the castle! Seal the doors! Seal the—" His voice cut off in a wet gurgle.
Rogues.
The word that defined her life. The ones who slaughtered her family. The ones who gave her the silver scar that throbbed on her wrist. Chaos erupted. Servants ran. Alara shoved Arya to the ground, scrambling for the root cellar. A man crashed through the kitchen door. He was not a guard. He was filth and matted fur, his clothes in tatters. His eyes were black, pupils blown wide with bloodlust. He smelled wrong.
Vile.
He scanned the kitchen, and his eyes locked on Arya. He grinned, his yellowed teeth sharp. Found her. The marked one. He lunged for her. Arya was frozen. The pot in her hand was useless. This was it. The end she had always, always expected.
A blur. A roar.
Draven was there. He hadn't come from the door. He came from the shadows. He moved faster than anything human. He slammed into the rogue, tackling him backward into a massive rack of iron pots. The rogue slashed at him with a long, wicked blade. Draven didn't bleed. He growled. And he changed. Arya watched, her hand clamped over her mouth. His shoulders broadened, the seams of his black tunic ripping apart. His hands elongated. Vicious, black claws tore through the leather of his gloves. His face twisted and warped. His teeth grew. His eyes were not dark. They were not just gold. They were swirling pits of pure, chaotic, silver light. This was not a guard. This was not a Lycan. This was the monster the guard spoke of. The monster looked at the rogue and tore him apart. It was brutal. It was fast. It was final. Silence. The kitchen was destroyed. The rogue was gone. The monster, Draven, stood panting. He was huge, terrifying, and drenched in blood. He turned. His chaotic, glowing eyes landed on her. Arya should have screamed. She should have run. She didn't move. He was a monster. He was a killer. And she had never, ever felt safer. He took one step toward her, his new claws clicking on the stone floor. He was still fighting himself, his massive body rippling. He leaned down, his monstrous face inches from hers. The scent of pine and ozone was so strong it made her dizzy. He whispered. His voice was not human. It was a layered, gravelly, possessive sound that shook her to her very soul.
Mean it.
Chapter 10. The Flinch. He had carried her back. After the blood, after the change, the beast had scooped her up as if she weighed nothing. He had placed her gently on the silk sheets of the royal chamber and simply left. She had not seen him for 2 days. She was a ghost in a gilded cage, her world shrunk to this room, a small, sun-drenched garden, and a vast, empty library. She hid in the library, the scent of old paper and leather a comfort. It was quiet. It was safe. But she was not alone. He was always there. He was a shadow at the end of the long hall. He was a still figure on the balcony, overlooking the garden. He never approached. He never spoke. He just watched. But he was different. The unmovable, terrifying guard was gone. The man who haunted the edges of her vision looked ill. He was pale. Dark, bruised shadows stained the skin beneath his eyes. He no longer wore the simple black leather. Today, he was in a deep blue tunic, the fabric rich but undecorated. The pretense was falling away, or perhaps he was just too tired to maintain it. This was her chance. She had to get back to the kitchens. She had to get back to normal. She slipped from the library, her bare feet silent on the runner. She would find a servant staircase. She would beg Martha for her job. She would scrub pots until her hands bled, and she would forget the feeling of his arms, the impossible gold of his eyes, and the possessive, monstrous word he had whispered. Mine. She turned a corner, her head down, and ran right into him. He blocked the corridor.
He was a mountain.
Arya.
His voice was a rasp.
It was not the deep, commanding rumble. It was a dry, strained sound, as if it pained him to speak. She froze. He looked worse up close. He was leaning one hand against the tapestry, his knuckles white. He was breathing too fast. You have to stop running from me, he breathed.
I
don't know what you want, she whispered, her heart hammering. I want. He closed his eyes, his face tight with a pain she could not understand. I just need you to not be afraid. He reached for her. His hand was shaking. This was not the steady, strong hand that had caught her when she fell. This was not the hand whose touch had sent fire through her veins. This was the hand of a sick, desperate man. But she did not see the man. She saw the beast. She saw the black claws bursting from his skin. She saw the blood on the kitchen floor. She saw the memory of the rogue being torn apart. It was not Kale she feared. It was the thing inside him. She flinched. It was not a small, polite movement. It was a violent, full-body recoil. She stumbled backward, her hands flying to her chest as if to shield her heart. A sound tore from his throat. A raw, choked gasp. It was the sound of a man being stabbed. He did not just stagger. He collapsed. He crashed against the stone wall, his arms sliding down, leaving a streak. He fell hard to one knee. His head hung low, his broad shoulders shaking. Kale. The voice was sharp, cold, and full of authority. Arya stared, horrified. Lord Valerius, the Alpha Regent, was striding down the hall. His face was a mask of cold fury. He did not even look at Arya. He looked at the kneeling man with pure, undisguised contempt. Get up, Valerius spat. You are embarrassing your title.
Kale.
The king's name. The man on the floor looked up, not at the regent, but at her. His dark eyes were burning. Not with chaos. Not with anger. With pure, undiluted despair. Chapter 11. The King Who Knelt.
Kale.
The name echoed in the stone corridor, a confirmation of her deepest, most impossible fear. Lord Valerius, the regent, stood over the kneeling man, his lip curled in disgust. On your knees for a servant. Pathetic. The man, the guard, the beast, pushed himself up. He was slow, his muscles straining, but he rose to his full, terrifying height. He was taller than Valerius. He was taller than everyone. When he spoke, his voice was not the broken rasp. It was the low, vibrating growl of the creature that had saved her life.
You will not call
her that. Valerius's sneer faltered. He recognized the tone. He took a half step back, his hand instinctively moving to the hilt of his sword. The beast is close to the surface, Your Majesty. You should retire. Before you break something. Your Majesty. The world tilted. Arya leaned against the wall, her legs suddenly unable to hold her. It was true. All of it. The unstable king. The chaotic Lycan. The man who caught her. The man who collapsed when she flinched. They were one. Leave us, Kale commanded. It was not a request. My king, she is dangerous to you. The girl is clearly.
Now.
The word was a physical force. It was the roar of the monster, wrapped in the voice of a man. The heavy tapestries on the wall rippled from the sound. Valerius bowed, a sharp, angry gesture. He shot Arya a look of pure, unadulterated hatred. As you wish. He strode away, his boots clicking with angry purpose. Silence. Thick, heavy, and suffocating. Arya was alone. With the king. He turned to her. The anger was gone. In its place was a rawness, a vulnerability that was more terrifying than the beast. He looked like a man about to be executed. He is right, Kale said, his voice quiet again. My name is Kale Draven. I am the Alpha King of this realm. Arya's world did not just tilt. It shattered. It fell into a million pieces, leaving her floating in a cold, empty void. The unstable king, she whispered. He winced, the word a physical blow. That is what they call me. Yes. You lied to me. Her voice was small. You pretended. You were a guard. I had to see you. I had to. I had to know if you were real. Real? Her voice grew sharp, brittle. And then what? You saw the curse mark and what? Decided I was a toy.
No.
He stepped closer. She held her ground. Arya, the moment you fainted. The moment I touched you. He held up his trembling hands. My beast. The chaos. It went quiet. For the first time in 10 years. It was silent. Do you know what that means? She knew. The whispers in the barracks. The one cure. You are my fated mate. There it was. The second blow. It should have been a dream.
It was a nightmare.
This was not a gift. This was a job. He was not a man who saw her. He was a king who needed a thing. Because he was desperate. He had hunted her. You manipulated me, she whispered, the betrayal a cold stone in her gut. I protected you, he roared, his eyes flashing. You trapped me. You let me think I was going to be punished. You let me believe. You let me feel. She choked on the word.
Safe.
He had let her feel safe. It was the cruelest lie of all. It was real. He shouted, the chaotic, silvery light she'd seen in the kitchen swirling in his eyes.
No.
It was a lie. I am not your anchor. I am not your cure. She was shouting now, the rage of a lifetime, of being small and silent and unwanted, pouring out. I am not a thing. I will not be used. Arya, the bond. It is our fate. I refuse the bond. She screamed the words. The ancient, forbidden words. The ultimate sin. The words hung in the air, severing the last thread of hope. Kale looked at her. He did not look angry. He did not look sad. He looked destroyed. Chapter 12. The Chaos Unleashed. I refuse the bond. The echo of her own words, sharp and final, hung in the air. Kale did not move. He just stared at her, his face utterly blank. He looked hollowed out, a man carved from ice. No, he whispered. It was a sound of pure, desperate disbelief. You can't.
You do not mean that.
I mean it, she said, her voice shaking but firm. She was protecting herself. It was the only way. It was all she had ever known how to do. Arya, please. His voice cracked. You do not understand what you are. I am not your sacrifice. He screamed. It was not a word. It was a sound of pure, unadulterated agony. It was the sound of his soul being ripped in half. He clawed at his own chest, his nails tearing through the rich blue tunic. It burns, she watched in horror. This was not the controlled, partial shift from the kitchen. This was a breaking. His bones snapped. The sound was loud, like dry branches cracking underfoot. His whole body convulsed. Black fur, thick and matted, burst from his skin. His shoulders tore apart, his spine arching backward. He fell to all fours, his body twisting, reforming. He roared, and the sound shattered the stained glass windows at the end of the corridor. The chaos was here. His eyes were not gold. They were the swirling, silver, terrifying light she had seen before, but brighter.
He was all beast.
The man, Kale, was gone. He lunged. Arya screamed, pressing herself flat against the wall. But he did not attack her. He hit the stone wall beside her. His claws, long and black, tore through the ancient stone as if it were wet clay. Rocks exploded. Dust filled the air. He was destroying the castle. He was destroying himself. He threw his head back and howled, a long, mournful, agonizing sound of pure loss. Then he turned. His chaotic, silver eyes landed on her. He stalked toward her, a low, deathly growl rumbling in his chest. This was it. She had pushed him. She had broken the king. Now his monster would kill her. She was trapped. There was nowhere to run. He raised his massive, clawed hand. She could see the glint on their razor-sharp tips. She did not scream. She did not cry. She whispered his name.
Kale.
The beast froze. His claw, inches from her throat, stopped. It quivered. Kale, she said again, her voice stronger, though she was shaking so hard she could barely stand. Stop.
Please. You are scaring me. He winced.
The monster winced. The swirling, chaotic light in his eyes flickered. It dimmed. A flicker of dark pupil returned. He looked at his claw. He looked at her.
He saw.
He roared again, but this time it was a sound of self-loathing. He stumbled backward, away from her, crashing into the far wall. The transformation reversed. It was just as brutal. The bone snapped. The fur receded. The creature shrank, collapsing in on itself until it was just a man. Kale lay on the floor, naked from the waist up, his tunic in tatters. He was panting, his body slick with sweat. He was sobbing, his shoulders shaking.
Broken.
Guards.
To the king.
To the king. Footsteps thunder down the hall. Lord Valerius rounded the corner, followed by six armed guards. They skidded to a halt. They saw the catastrophic damage to the hall. They saw their king, weeping on the stones. And they saw Arya, standing untouched, her back to the wall. Valerius's face went rigid with a cold, triumphant fury. You see, he shouted, pointing a finger at Arya. She is the cause. She is the curse. She is a danger to the entire kingdom. He turned to his men. Seize that girl. She is to be removed. For the king's safety. Chapter 13. The King Who Refused. After Lord Valerius and his guards departed, they left a new, terrible silence. Arya was not taken to a dungeon. She was simply confined. Kale had lifted his head, his voice a broken rasp. Leave. Her.
Be.
The guards had obeyed the king over the regent. But now she was his prisoner, trapped in these opulent rooms, the gilded cage locked tight. This new guilt was a heavier weight than any fear. She had not just hurt him. She had broken him. She had seen the man, not the beast, sobbing on the floor. She had done that. Her words. Her rejection. Because she was afraid, she had become a monster. She had to fix it. She could not stay in her room, not while he was in his suffering. She was a coward, but she was not cruel. Because Valerius's guards were posted at her main door, she had to find another path. The balcony. It connected to the adjoining garden terrace, a small, private space she had seen from her window. It was a risk. The journey was short, a desperate scramble over a stone railing in the dead of night. She landed softly on the terrace of his chambers. The doors were open. He was not in the main room. She found him in the bedchamber, a vast, dark space that smelled only of his wild, pine and storm scent. He was not in the bed. He was on the floor, kneeling. He was shaking. His broad, bare back was rigid, his hands braced on the floor as if holding the world up. He was fighting. Fighting himself. Kale, she whispered. He flinched, his whole body tensing.
Go.
Away. I came to apologize, she said, stepping into the darkness. I did not. I did not mean. I did not know. I was afraid. Get out, he roared. It was not the king's command. It was a plea. He turned, and she saw his face. It was slick with sweat. His eyes were clamped shut. I am trying not to hurt you, Arya. Please. Go. His voice was a ruin, hollowed out by pain. He was not angry. He was terrified. Terrified of himself. You won't hurt me, she said, though her heart was hammered. I will. He slammed his fist into the floor, the wood groaning. You do not understand. My mother, she was not my fated mate. But she was my mother. When I was a child, my chaos, it first appeared. I did not know. I could not control it. He was telling her a story. A secret. I killed her, Arya. My beast, it could not handle her touch. It ripped her apart because I was not strong enough. He was crying. The Alpha King. The monster. He was weeping. I am the poison. I am the danger. I am the one who broke my own mother. And you are my mate. You are the only one who can, and I. He looked at her, his dark eyes a sea of pure agony. I refuse to be the man who breaks you. He would not touch her. Not because he did not want to, but because he loved her too much to risk it. Before she could speak, a sharp knock echoed. A guard burst in. Your Majesty, forgive me, Alpha Boren of the North. He demands an audience. He says he knows about the girl. He demands she be handed over. Chapter 14. The Price of Peace. Following the guard's terrible announcement, Kale changed. The broken man on the floor vanished. He stood up in one fluid, terrible motion. The king returned. He was pale, still shaking, but his eyes burned with a cold, royal fire. He grabbed his shirt, pulling it over his scarred chest. I will be there, he commanded. Bring her. She will stand with me. Arya's heart stopped. What?
No.
Kale, this is. You will stand with me, he repeated. He was not asking. The great hall was cold. It was not filled with feasting lords. It was filled with soldiers. Kale's men on one side, and on the other, a group of huge, bearded warriors in thick, gray wolf pelts. Alpha Boren of the North. Boren was a man of ice and stone. He was older than Kale, with a braided white beard and eyes like chips of granite. He did not bow. He stared at Kale, and then his cold gaze slid to Arya. He sneered. So, it is true. Boren's voice boomed, a gravelly sound. The great Alpha King Kale Draven, brought to his knees, broken by a curse mark. Valyria stepped forward, his face a mask of false diplomacy. Alpha Boren, his majesty is unwell. The girl is a complication we are. She's the problem, Boren snapped. She has poisoned the throne. The Northern Pax will not follow a king ruled by a chaotic beast. And that thing, she makes him weak. She is a rogue agent. Hand her over to us. We will cleanse her. We will deal with her. In return, the North remains loyal. Arya felt the blood drain from her face. She was a bargaining chip. She was a burden. She was the spark that would light the fire of civil war. This was her deepest fear. Her very existence was causing destruction. My king, Valyria said smoothly, turning to Kale. It is a reasonable request. Peace for the kingdom. In exchange for one insignificant girl. A girl who has already rejected you. All eyes went to Kale. He was pale. He looked as if he might fall. He was weak because the rejection was still poisoning him. Boren made his move because he saw a fractured kingdom. Kale, however, looked at her. Just one long look. He saw her terror. He saw her guilt. He turned to Alpha Boren. He stood tall.
No.
The word was quiet, but it hit the hall like a thunderclap. Boren's eyes widened.
What?
You would choose that over peace. You will not have her, Kale said, his voice stronger. You will not speak of her. You will not look at her. She is mine. She is under my protection. And if you want her, you will have to tear down my throne, Boren. You will have to go through me. He had chosen her. He had chosen her over his kingdom. Then it is war. Boren roared. He drew his massive axe. The king is mad. In the chaos that followed, everything happened at once. Boren's men charged. Kale's guards met them. But Valyrius. He grabbed Arya's arm. You have caused enough trouble, he hissed. He began dragging her, not to safety, but toward a small, side door. Where are you taking me? She cried. He did not answer. He shoved the door open. Two men stood there. They were not guards. They were the rogues. The same filth, the same dead eyes. The one who had attacked her in the kitchen was dead, but these were his brothers. They grabbed her. Valyrius, no, she screamed. The regent just watched, his face blank. The kingdom must be protected. A cloth was shoved over her mouth. Her world went black. Chapter 15. The Blood War. The world was a blur of rough hands and foul smells. Arya awoke to the jarring, painful rhythm of a horse at a full gallop. She was tied, thrown over the saddle like a sack of grain. Her hands were bound. The cloth was gone from her mouth, but the air was so cold it burned her lungs. She was in a forest. Dark, ancient trees flew past in a dizzying, moonlit rush. This new prison was cold and real. They did not stop for hours. When they finally did, it was in a deep, hidden ravine. A camp.
Rogues. Dozens of them.
They were thin, feral, and their eyes glowed with a sick, yellow light. She was dragged from the horse and thrown onto the frozen dirt. The rogue who spoke was not a simple brute. He was tall, his face a web of old scars. He crouched in front of her. He sniffed her. He sniffed her hair. He sniffed her scar. He sniffed the blood on her lip. I do not understand, he rasped, his voice like dry leaves. Valerius said, "You are just a curse mark. A nobody. But you do not smell like a nobody. You smell royal."
I
don't know what you mean, she stammered. He tilted his head, his yellow eyes narrowed. The mark. He traced the silver crescent on her wrist, his sharp nail sending a jolt of pain up her arm. This is not a rogue's bite. This is old magic. This is a brand. The brand of the Vale line. The line of the First Queen. Arya's mind spun.
Vali.
Her name. Her father's name. Your family, the rogue leader whispered, his eyes wide with a terrible, dawning realization. They were not killed by rogues. They were hunted by the Draven line. By Kale's father. Because their blood was a threat. Just as he said the words, a sound split the night. It was a howl. It was not a wolf. It was not a leekin. It was Kale. It was a sound of pure, cosmic rage. It came from miles away, but it shook the trees around them. It was a promise of death. The rogue scrambled, grabbing weapons. He knows. The leader breathed, a strange, excited smile twisting his lips. He has declared the blood war. A smaller rogue ran up, panting. Leader. Scouts report the Alpha King. He is not a man. He is a storm. He is a shadow of claws and light. He is killing everything in his path. He is coming for her. Arya's heart seized. Terror.
Despair.
And a small, fierce, terrible flicker of pride. He would burn the world for her. The rogue leader's laugh was a sharp, barking sound. He grabbed Arya's hair, pulling her head back. Good. Let the monster come. He is coming for his mate. But he is walking into our trap. The legends are clear. The Vale blood, your blood, is the only thing that can anchor a chaotic beast. Or, he grinned, the only thing that can poison him for good. He pressed a cold, ritual dagger to her throat. We will use you as the bait. And then we will use you as the blade. Chapter 16. The Silver Snare. The rogue leader, the one with the scarred face, was Malachor. He held the ritual dagger, its edge gleaming with a sick, oily sheen. Your blood, First Queen, he whispered, his voice almost reverent. A strange magic. The legends say if you willingly give your bond, your blood anchors the chaos. But if it is taken in fear, if it is spilled while your heart is full of terror, it severs the connection. He grinned, his yellow teeth sharp. It becomes a poison. It will rot his beast from the inside out. He will be a hollow, mindless thing. Arya's blood turned to ice. This was the trap. Not just death. Damnation.
A roar.
It was not distant this time. It was here. Kale exploded from the trees. He was not a man. He was the chaos. He was a 10-foot-tall shadow of rippling black fur, silver light pouring from his eyes, and claws as long as daggers. He was magnificent. He was terrifying. He was the monster from the hall, and he was here to tear the world apart for her. He hit the first line of rogues like a thunderbolt. Bodies flew. The sounds were wet and final. He was a storm. He was unstoppable.
Now,
Malachor shrieked. The rogue leader did not join the fight. He ran to Arya. He grabbed her by the hair, yanking her to her feet. He pressed the oily, cold blade of the dagger hard against her throat. Kale. Malachor screamed. The beast froze. He was 20 feet away, his chest heaving, his claws dripping. He had just torn a man in two. His silver, chaotic eyes snapped from the battle to her. He saw the knife. He saw her white, terrified face. And the monster stopped. The chaos in his eyes flickered. The silver light dimmed, and for a second, she saw Kale. She saw the man, trapped inside the beast, his eyes wide with a new, sharper agony. He wanted to kill, but he needed to save. One more step, Malachor hissed, and I open her throat. She will die, King. And you will watch. Kale growled a low, tortured sound. He was paralyzed. He could kill Malachor in a single heartbeat, but the blade was faster. His love for her, the very bond he was fighting for, was the chain holding him in place. The nets. Malachor shouted. Fire. Rogues, hidden in the ravine walls, fired their crossbows. But they were not bolts. They were nets. Thick ropes, woven with glistening, barbed silver. The nets hit Kale.
He roared.
It was a sound of pure, sizzling agony. The silver, pure and burning, bit into his skin. The chaos beast thrashed, tearing at the ropes, but they held. They burned. Smoke rose from his fur. He was weakening. The silver was poison to him. Malachor laughed. You see, little queen, his love is his weakness. Kale looked at her. His eyes were no longer silver. They were Kale's eyes, dark and human, and filled with a pain that broke her heart.
He was trapped.
He was burning. He roared once more, a sound of fury and defeat. With a massive, desperate heave, he ripped part of the nets free, but the silver had done its work. He was bleeding. He was wounded. He stumbled backward into the shadows of the forest. He retreated. Arya watched him go. She watched the unstoppable monster, the king who chose her over peace, flee. He was not invincible. He was wounded. He was bleeding for her.
And he had failed.
Chapter 17. The Empty Throne. Following Kale's agonizing retreat, the rogues were energized. They did not celebrate for long. Malachor was a creature of singular, cold purpose. Move, he barked, yanking Arya by the ropes on her wrists. He will be back. The ritual must be completed before he heals. They marched. They dragged her for what felt like miles, deeper into the dark, twisted forest. Her feet were cut and bleeding on the sharp rocks. Every step was a new pain, but it was nothing. It was a dull, distant ache compared to the screaming void in her chest. He had retreated. He had run. Because of her. She was the anchor. She was the poison. She was the weakness. They stopped in a small clearing. Malachor was interrogating a man. Arya's stomach clenched. It was a guard. One of Kale's men, his black uniform torn, his face a bloody mask. He was tied to a tree. He is gone. The guard spat, defiant. He will regroup. He will kill you all. He will try, Malachor said, his voice almost pleasant. But I wonder, what will he be coming back for? Tell me, little soldier, what news from the castle? My associate was supposed to send word. The guard's face crumpled. He looked past Malachor, his eyes finding Arya's. He looked ashamed. Lord Valyrius, he did it. Did what? Malachor pressed, his scarred face alight with anticipation. He held the emergency vote. The guard choked out. He said the king was mad. That he abandoned his post in the middle of a war council, all to chase. To chase. He looked at Arya. To start a blood war for Aya's servant. Arya stopped breathing.
No.
The vote passed, the guard whispered, his voice breaking. Kale Draven he is dethroned. The council has declared him unstable and unfit. Lord Valyrius is now Lord Regent, with the full power of the Alpha. The throne is his.
The forest was silent.
Arya could hear the blood rushing in her ears.
Dethroned.
It was her fault. It was all her fault. Her rejection.
Her kidnapping.
His rage. She had done this. Her deepest, darkest, most selfish fear. Being seen. Being a curse. Being the cause of destruction. It was all true. She had not just broken Kale. She had broken the entire kingdom. She had cost him everything. Malachor stared at her, his yellow eyes wide. Then he threw his head back and laughed. It was a dry, cracking sound that echoed through the dead trees. It is perfect, he howled. It is poetic. We do not just kill a king. We kill a nobody. He lost his crown for a ghost. For a curse mark. He turned to his men. Take her. To the altar. We finish this. Valyrius will have his kingdom, and we will have the head of the last Draven. Chapter 18. The Whisper of Acceptance. The altar was not a holy place. It was a slab of flat, black rock, slick with old, dark stains that moonlight refused to touch. It rested in the center of a grove of dead, leafless trees, their branches like skeletal fingers clawing at the sky. The air was cold. So cold, it felt thin, as if she could not draw a full breath. They chained her. Her arms and legs were stretched wide, her back flat against the freezing stone. She was a sacrifice. Malachor was chanting, his voice a low, guttural rasp. Two other rogues, draped in rotting furs, drew symbols on the ground around the altar. They were using a paste that looked like ash and smelled like old blood. She was so, so tired. Kale was not coming. He was wounded. He was beaten. And he was, she now knew, alone. He had no crown.
He had no army.
He had no kingdom. He had lost it all. He had sacrificed his entire world for her. For the girl who had flinched. For the girl who had rejected him. For the girl who had broken him. Her fear was gone. It had burned away, leaving a vast, empty, aching space. The guilt was still there, a heavy, cold stone. But underneath it, something new, something small, warm, and terribly, terribly strong. It was love. It was a fierce, protective, agonizing love for the man who had been willing to burn for her. She had been a fool. A terrified, blind, selfish fool. She had been so afraid of being used that she had not seen that he was the only one who had ever truly seen her. He saw the invisible girl. He saw the curse mark. And he had chosen her. Over peace. Over his throne. Over everything. She was not a curse. She was his mate. Tears pricked her eyes, hot against her frozen cheeks. It was too late. She knew it. He was not coming. He was defeated. She looked up at the cold, empty sky. There was no moon, only a scattering of indifferent stars. Kale, she whispered. Her voice was a puff of white vapor in the black air. She knew he could not hear her. He was miles away, bleeding, broken, and alone. But the bond. The bond she had refused. The bond that burned him. It was still there. A thin, thrumming, silver thread, stretched to its breaking point. She focused on it. She poured everything she was into that single, fragile connection. I was wrong, she whispered to the stone.
Kale.
I was so wrong. I am yours. I was always yours. She took a ragged, final breath. I take it back, she sobbed, the words ripped from her soul. I take back my rejection. I accept the bond. Please. She felt nothing. No rush of magic. No answering call. Just the cold stone beneath her and the sharp, freezing air in her lungs. He was too far. He was too broken. It was too late. Malachir stood over her. His shadow blotted out the stars. He raised the dark, oily, ritual dagger. It is time, he rasped red. Valerius gets his clean throne. And I get to kill a king. He pressed the tip of the blade to her chest, right over her heart. It was cold. It was sharp. Let the poison flow. Chapter 19. The Echo in the Blood.
Pain. Cold.
His world was fire and ice. Kale lay in the cold, wet mud, his massive body hidden beneath a dark pine. The silver nets were gone, but the burn remained. Silver was a holy fire, a poison that seeped into his very bones, screaming at his leakened spirit. It dampened the chaos. It deadened his strength. He could smell the acidic burn of his own sizzled flesh. He was a king without a crown. A beast without his power. A man who had failed. He had retreated. He had run. But the silver was nothing. It was a flea bite. The true agony, the real poison, was the rejection. It was a hollow, rotting wound in his soul. It was a constant, icy drain. Because she had refused him, his beast had no anchor. The chaos was winning. The silver had just weakened the cage. He was dying. He was losing himself to the madness, and he was too weak to even fight back. He closed his eyes. He saw her face. Terrified. Flinching. I refuse the bond. His mother. Arya. He had failed them both. He was the monster his mother died fearing. He was the unstable beast his mate was right to reject. He deserved this cold, muddy death. Then a whisper. It was not a sound. It was not in his ears. It was in his blood. A faint, desperate, thread of warmth. It was so small, he thought he was hallucinating. He thought it was the madness, the final lie before the end. I take it back. Kale's eyes snapped open. The mud. The trees. The pain. It all vanished. The whisper came again, louder this time. A scream, carried on the silver thread of their bond. I accept the bond.
Please.
The pain, it did not just stop. It reversed. The rejection, the icy poison that was killing him, became fuel. The bond, once a one-way channel of his agony, was now a conduit. Her acceptance, her fear, her love, it slammed into him. It was a tidal wave of pure, unadulterated power. The silver burned out of his system, pushed out by a greater fire. He rose. His bones did not snap. They flowed. He stood, not in weakness, but in control. The chaos leakin was still there, the 10 feet of shadow, the silver light, the claws. But it was not chaos. The swirling, mad light in his eyes focused. It turned from a wild storm into a pair of cold, silver, intelligent stars. He was not the beast. He was not the man. He was both. He was king. He was the alpha. And his mate was in danger. He breathed in. He could smell her. He could smell her fear, her sweat, the cold iron of the chains. He could smell Malachar's foul, rotten breath. He could smell the old blood on the altar. He did not roar. He did not howl. He moved. He left the cover of the trees, a black and silver shadow, a guided missile of pure, controlled rage. He was not a wounded animal. He was a god of vengeance. And he was coming to collect. Chapter 20. The Altar of Bone. The dagger was cold. So cold. Arya stared at the black, oily metal, inches from her heart. This was the end. She had given her acceptance, but it was too late. He was not here. He could not hear. Malachar's breath was a foul cloud, smelling of rot and triumph. For the new kingdom, he hissed. He tensed his arm for the final thrust.
A roar.
It split the night. It was not the howl of agony she had heard before. It was not the sound of a beast losing its mind. This was the sound of a king. It was a sound of pure, righteous, and controlled fury. It was a promise. Malachar froze. He spun around, his yellow eyes wide with disbelief. Kale exploded from the trees.
He was the beast.
The shadow. The monster. But he moved with a terrifying, lethal purpose. He was not a wild storm. He was a blade. He did not thrash. He did not rage. He executed. He was faster than she could track.
He spun.
A clawed hand, surgical and precise, took a rogue's head from his shoulders. A back kick shattered another's chest, the sound a wet crack. A third rogue raised a crossbow. Kale was on him before the man could pull the trigger, lifting him, breaking him over his knee, and throwing the body aside. It was not a brawl. It was a reaping. The rogues, who had been so brave against a wounded animal, broke. They screamed. This was not the broken king they had netted. This was a god. Malachar stood, paralyzed, the dagger still in his hand. Arya watched. Her heart was not pounding with fear. It was pounding with pride. It was hammering with his fury. She could feel him. The bond was alive. It was a roaring, blazing fire inside her chest. It connected her to him. She felt his strength. He felt her fight. She was not helpless. She would not be the sacrifice. She would not be the damsel chained to the rock. She pulled. The iron chains bit into her wrists. The cold stone scraped her back. She did not care. She pulled again. Her left wrist was raw, bleeding, but the shackle was old. The iron was pitted.
Come on.
Come on, Kale. Her eyes met his across the clearing. He was a whirlwind of black fur and silver light. He finished the last rogue, his claws sinking into the man's chest. He turned. His silver, intelligent eyes locked on her. He saw her. He saw her fighting. He started to run. Toward her. Toward the altar. Malachar finally broke from his terror. He looked at Kale. He looked at the dagger. He looked at Arya. He knew he had lost. Chapter 21. The Stolen Blade.
Two left.
They were big. They were Malachar's elite, and they stood between Kale and the altar, their silver-laced axes raised. They were terrified, but they held their ground. Kale did not slow. Malachar saw it. He saw his men failing. He saw his grand plan, his alliance with Valyrius, his poisoned blade, all of it turning to ash. He saw the monster, the controlled monster, bearing down on him. He snarled, abandoning any hope of fighting the king. He turned back to her. If I cannot poison the king, he hissed, his face a mask of pure, desperate spite, I will just spill his mate. I will take something from him. He raised the dagger.
Hi.
For the final, heart-piercing blow. Arya moved. Her right hand, slick with blood and sweat, was free. The shackle had snapped. She did not scream.
She attacked.
She shot up from the altar, her body moving on pure, feral instinct.
She grabbed his wrist.
The cold, oily metal stopped, a single, agonizing inch from her chest. Malachar cried out in surprise. He was strong. But Arya was furious. She was not a servant. She was not a curse mark. She was the mate of the Alpha King. No, she screamed. She used her other hand, still chained, to brace herself. She twisted, putting all her weight, all her rage into it. The rogue's arm bent. He tried to fight her, but she was relentless. She was a fury. Kale roared. He saw her. He saw her fighting him. He saw her winning. He demolished the last guard. He leaped. He crossed the 20 feet to the altar in a single, impossible, soaring bound. He slammed into Malachar. He was a freight train of fur and fury. The impact sent the rogue leader flying backward, his body crashing against a dead tree. The ritual dagger clattered, spinning across the stone. Kale did not look at him. He did not care about the enemy. He turned, his massive body shielding Arya. He bent over her, his silver eyes frantic. They were no longer the eyes of a beast. They were Kale's eyes, shining with silver light. He reached out a clawed, shaking hand. He did not touch her. He just hovered. Arya, he breathed. Her name.
A prayer.
Kale, she sobered, reaching for him. Behind you. Malachar. He was rising. He was broken, his arm at a sick angle. Blood poured from his mouth.
But he was not dead.
And in his hand, he held a second knife. A shard of broken, jagged silver. The kind that burned. He lunged, not at Kale's back, but at Arya. Chapter 22, The King and His Queen. Behind you. Arya's scream was a raw, primal thing. Kale was fast, but he was facing her, his silver eyes wide with concern. Malachar, fueled by a final, venomous spite, did not hesitate. He lunged, aiming the jagged silver shard not at the king, but at the woman he shielded.
Kyle Spoon.
He was a black and silver hurricane, a blur of motion. His claws were raised. But Arya did not flinch. She did not cower. She did not recoil. She trusted him. As he turned, his massive, furred arm brushed her shoulder. She did not pull away. She reached for him. She jammed her one free hand, the one bloody and raw from the broken shackle, flat against his chest. She pressed her palm against the heart of the raging, chaotic beast.
Mine.
The word was not spoken. It was a silent explosion. It was her thought. It was his. It was the bond, no longer a thread, but a cable of pure, molten gold. The instant her skin touched his, the chaotic, swirling silver in his eyes did not just focus. It ignited. It exploded in a clean, blinding, white-hot nova of pure, controlled power. She felt his strength, his rage, his power, his control. He felt her acceptance, her courage, her love. Kale's massive hand shot out. He did not parry the blow. He did not block the knife. He caught Malachar's wrist. The sound of bones, thick and solid, crushing into splinters was a wet snap that echoed in the dead clearing. Malachar shrieked, a high, thin sound of agony. The silver shard dropped from his numb fingers, clattering uselessly on the stone. Kale did not look at the rogue. He looked at Arya. His silver eyes were perfectly calm. They were Kale. He hurt you. Kale's voice rumbled. It was the beast's voice, layered and deep, but it was his mind. I am fine, she breathed, her hand still pressed flat against his heart. Good. He turned his head. His other hand, the one not holding the rogue's shattered arm, rose. With a single, economical, and final motion, he ended Malachar. It was not a fight. It was a judgment. It was done. The clearing went utterly, profoundly silent. The only sound was the harsh, deep panting of the beast who was her king. He stood over her, his massive body a shield against the world. A pale, gray light touched the horizon. Dawn was coming. The fire of the bond, the adrenaline, the terror, the rage, it all drained out of her at once, leaving her knees weak. Kale's silver eyes softened. He was still the 10-foot monster of shadow and fur, but he was hers. Her own eyes rolled back. The world went dark. She collapsed, her hand sliding from his chest, and he caught her before she could ever hit the stone. Chapter 23. The Blood of the Vale. She woke to warmth. She was not on cold stone. She was not in her servant's cot. She was cradled. She was safe. Arya opened her eyes. The first thing she saw was his face.
Kale.
Not the beast. The man. He was in his human form, his clothes shredded rags. He was covered in mud, his own blood, and the blood of his enemies. He looked exhausted. He looked, she thought, magnificent. He was carrying her through the forest, his long, powerful strides eating up the ground. The castle was visible through the trees. Kale. She tried to speak. Her throat was raw, her voice a dry croak. Sho. His voice was a low murmur, just for her. I have you. You're safe. She was. She finally, truly was. She rested her head against his broad, bare chest, against the very skin her palm had claimed, and closed her eyes. When she woke again, They were in the Great Hall. Kale was still holding her. He had not put her down. He stood in the center of the vast room, defiant, his back to the throne, as if he were the one holding up the roof. They were surrounded, not by rogues, by the council, by Kale's guards, who now stood at attention, and by Lord Valerius. Valerius's face was a mask of pure, white-hot rage. His entire plan, his perfect, meticulous coup, was in ruins. Your Majesty, Valerius spat, the title a poison dart. You return, after abandoning your throne, after starting a war, for this curse mark. She is not. Kale's voice was quiet, but it filled the hall, silencing every whisper. A curse mark. He gently, so gently, set Arya on her feet. Her legs trembled. He kept one strong, possessive arm locked around her waist, holding her up. She was his. He was hers. They were a single, unmovable unit. She is the Alpha Queen, Kale stated. She is nothing, Valerius shouted, his composure snapping. She is a nameless servant. The council has voted. You are dethroned. The vote, a new voice cut through the air, is invalid. An old woman, one Arya had never seen, stepped from the shadows. She wore the dark blue robes of a pack elder, a lore keeper. She looked at Valerius with cold, ancient eyes. The vote is invalid because you lied, Lord Regent. You failed to tell us who she truly is. The elder walked toward Arya.
She did not bow.
She looked at Arya with a strange, profound respect. She pointed, not at Arya's face, but at the faint, silver crescent on her wrist. We thought it was a rogue's bite, the elder said, her voice carrying. A mark of shame. We were fools. It is not a curse. It is a brand. Valerius went pale. This is nonsense. Old tales. Myths. It is the sigil of the Royal House of Vale, the elder declared. The bloodline of the First Queen. The line we all thought Kale's father had extinguished. She turned to the stunned council. You did not just bring a servant to the altar, Lord Valerius. You tried to sacrifice Queen Arya of House Vale, the only other royal blood on this continent. The council members gasped. They looked at Valerius, then at Arya. One by one, they fell to their knees. Valerius stood alone, his treachery exposed, his world collapsing. Kale just held her, his arm a band of iron, as the entire room bowed to its true queen. Chapter 24, The Queen Who Stayed. Lord Valerius was taken. The council was in chaos. The hall was a blur of apologies, of stunned silence, and of guards scrambling to restore order. Kale ignored all of it. He simply lifted Arya again, as if she weighed nothing.
He did not speak to the elder.
He did not address the kneeling council. He just turned his back on all of them and carried her from the great hall. He did not take her to her old room. He did not take her to a guest chamber. He carried her up the grand staircase, through the royal wing, and straight into his chambers. The ones she had fled from. The ones that smelled of pine and storms. He kicked the door shut with his foot. They were finally, completely, blessedly alone. He carried her to the massive bed, the one she had woken in after her faint, and gently set her down on the cool silk sheets. He did not join her. He stood at the foot of the bed. He was a towering, blood-stained, exhausted king. And he looked terrified. Arya, he said, his voice raw. She sat up, wincing as her muscles protested.
Kale.
They will call you queen, he said, his voice flat. Your blood, it gives you as much right to the throne as I have. Perhaps more. She looked at him, truly looked at him. The monster was gone. The beast was sleeping, finally at peace. This was just Kale. Her Kale. I do not care about a throne, she said, her voice quiet but strong. He took a ragged breath. You are free, Arya. The bond is sealed, but I will not. I will not be a cage. Not again. You are free. You can leave. You can have your own lands. You can be whatever you want. He was giving her an out. After everything. After she had rejected him. After he had lost his throne for her. After she had cost him everything. He was still putting her first. He was not afraid of rogues. He was not afraid of his beast. He was afraid she would leave him. She slid off the edge of the bed, her bare feet hitting the cold floor. She walked toward him, one slow, deliberate step at a time. He did not move. He was braced, as if waiting for a blow. She stopped right in front of him. She had to tilt her head all the way back to look him in the eye. Will you stay? He whispered. It was the smallest sound she had ever heard him make. She answered him. She rose up on her toes, twined her bloody, dirty fingers into his torn, filthy shirt, and pulled his face down to hers. I was always, she whispered against his lips, meant to. She kissed him. It was not a spark. It was not a jolt. It was an inferno. The bond flared. It was a sun exploding in her chest, warm and bright. Kale groaned, his arms finally, wrapping around her, pulling her so tight against him, she could not breathe. He kissed her back, not with desperation, but with the full, possessive power of a king. It was not a rescue. It was a claiming. It was home. Far below, in the courtyard, a single guard saw them in the window. He raised his fist to the sky.
A howl.
It started with one, then 10, then 100. The entire palace howled, a joyous, primal, deafening sound that shook the very stones of the castle. The king was home, and the invisible girl, the curse mark, was finally his queen.